In this session, we shall look at accumulation and maintenance trusts, A&M trusts, concentrating on inheritance tax implications. Income tax and CGT on A&M trusts are covered in other lectures. An A&M trust was a special type of discretionary trust, which could have been set up before the 22nd of March 2006. The definition of an A&M trust was contained in the inheritance tax legislation at Section 71. For a trust to have qualified as an accumulation and maintenance trust, one or more of the beneficiaries must have become entitled either to an interest in possession or to a share of the capital of the trust at an age not exceeding 25. A&M trusts were commonly set up by grandparents as a means of conferring benefit on their grandchildren without giving those children an absolute right to income or capital until they were old enough and responsible enough to look after the property. Under an A&M arrangement, at or before their 25th birthday, the beneficiary must either have become entitled to a share of the income of the trust or must have received a distribution of the capital assets. The trustee could have given the beneficiary a right to income or capital before his or her 25th birthday, but this right to either income or capital could not have been deferred beyond 25. If a trust created before the 22nd of March 2006 failed to satisfy Section 71 of the Inheritance Act, it was not treated as an accumulation and maintenance trust, but instead it was treated as a discretionary trust. The effect of the trust being treated as a discretionary trust was to bring the settlement within the exit and principal charge regime. For trusts subject to English law, Section 31 of the 1925 Trustee Act should be considered. Under Section 31 of the Trustee Act, a beneficiary of an A&M trust will legally become entitled to an interest in possession at the age of 18 unless the trust deed explicitly states otherwise. For example, assume that a grandparent set up an A&M trust for his grandchildren under which the beneficiaries became entitled to the capital of the trust at age 40. If the trust deed was silent on this point, Section 31 of the Trustee Act applied and the beneficiaries legally became entitled to a share of the income of the trust at age 18. If the settlor felt that aged 18 was too young for a beneficiary to become entitled to what could be a significant amount of income, Section 31 could have been excluded such that the right to income was deferred until age 25. If Section 31 of the Trustee Act takes effect, the trust is a discretionary trust until the beneficiary reaches the age of 18 and thereafter effectively becomes an interest in possession trust until the beneficiary takes his share of the trust capital at age 40. If a settlor wished to create an A&M trust before the 22nd of March 2006, it was very important that the conditions of Section 71 were satisfied because otherwise the settlor created a discretionary trust. The advantage of an A&M arrangement over a discretionary trust was that on the creation of the trust, the settlor made a potentially exempt transfer rather than a chargeable lifetime transfer. IHT would therefore only be charged if the settlor died within 7 years. An A&M trust was a special sort of discretionary trust with IHT advantages. When property left a pre-2006 A&M trust, there was no exit charge. Therefore, capital distributions may have been made to beneficiaries free of inheritance tax. Similarly, there were no principal charges on A&M trusts. This has changed from April 2008, as we shall discuss later. Major changes were made to the IHT position of A&M trusts from the 6th of April 2008. No new A&M trusts could be created on or after the 22nd of March 2006 and be given the IHT advantages previously offered by Section 71 IHTA 1984. If a settlor creates a trust after March 2006, which, for example, gives beneficiaries a right to income at 25 and a right to capital at 30, this is treated as a discretionary trust. Therefore, the creation will be a chargeable lifetime transfer for IHT, and the trust will be subject to exit and principal charges. Before April 2008, A&M trusts created before March 2006 had three choices. The first choice was to do nothing. In this case, the trust continued to be treated as an A&M trust until the 6th of April 2008. At that point, it fell into the discretionary trust regime. From April 2008, the trust assets are treated as relevant property and are subject to exit and principal charges. Trustees could have avoided this by distributing assets to beneficiaries and winding up the trust before the 6th of April 2008. However, this may not have been an appropriate course of action, having regard to the age or maturity of the beneficiaries. The second course of action was for the trustees to have altered the terms of the trust. If the terms of the trust were amended such that the beneficiaries became entitled to the capital of the trust at age 18, the trust continues to be treated as an old A&M trust. Therefore, there will be no exit charge when capital is distributed to the beneficiaries at age 18 or earlier, even if this is after April 2008. There will also be no principal charges on the 10-year anniversary of the trust. The third course of action was, again, to have altered the terms of the trust. If the terms of the trust were amended such that the beneficiaries become entitled to the capital of the trust at age 25, the trust will be treated like an age 18 to 25 trust. There will be limited exit charges when capital is distributed between the ages of 18 and 25. There will again be no principal charges. We will look at age 18 to 25 trusts in a later session. The latter changes were the subject of much criticism from the professional bodies, as it encouraged trustees to distribute potentially substantial assets to beneficiaries at an age when many may not be responsible enough to deal with them. Many trustees therefore opted to do nothing and have accepted IHT charges post April 2008. Exit charges on capital appointments after April 2008 are computed as for discretionary trusts, i.e. based on the initial value of the trust, the initial value of a related trust, taking into account the settlor's transfers in the 7 years prior to the creation of the trust. However, when calculating the number of completed quarters to arrive at the actual rate of tax, we take the number of quarters that have elapsed between the date of commencement and the date of the exit charge, then we deduct the number of quarters during which the trust assets have not been relevant property. Therefore, a distribution from an old A&M trust made shortly after the 6th of April 2008 will give rise to a small actual rate and a low IHT charge. By way of illustration, Mr. Smith created a qualifying A&M trust in June 2002 for his young grandchildren. The trust provides for the beneficiaries to be given a right to income at age 21 and to capital at age 30. The assets settled in 2002 were cash and quoted securities worth £750,000. Mr. Smith had made no previous transfers. In July 2010, the trustees made a capital distribution of £100,000 to a beneficiary. The beneficiary met any IHT arising. We'll calculate the IHT payable by the beneficiary on the capital appointment in July 2010. The creation of the A&M Trust was a PET. No lifetime tax was payable, therefore the initial value of the trust was £750,000. We deduct the nil band and tax the balance at 20% to give notional tax of £85,000. We express this as a percentage of the transfer of £750,000, giving an effective rate of 11.333%. We then multiply this by 30%, and finally we adjust for the number of completed quarters. Between the creation of the trust and the capital appointment, there are 32 completed quarters. However, the trust did not come within the relevant property regime until April 2008, so we duly deduct the number of completed quarters between June 2002 and April 2008, being 23. This gives an actual rate of 0.765%. The capital appointment is £100,000, giving rise to an exit charge of £765. You will see that the exit charge is quite small, as only a few quarters have elapsed since the trust came within the exit charge regime in April 2008. Moving on now to principal charges on old A&M trusts. Principal charges are also computed as for discretionary trusts, i.e. based on the current value of relevant property in the trust, the initial value of a related trust, taking into account the settlor's transfers in the 7 years prior to the creation of the old A&M trust, and taking account of chargeable distributions out of the trust in the last 10 years. By chargeable distributions, we mean capital appointments to beneficiaries which have been chargeable to IHT. Since distributions from A&M trusts before April 2008 were not chargeable to tax, when looking at principal charges, we only need to consider appointments since the 6th of April 2008. Again, when calculating the number of completed quarters to arrive at the actual rate of tax, we take the number of quarters that have elapsed between the date of commencement and the date of the principal charge, i.e. 40, then we deduct the number of quarters during which the trust assets have not been relevant property. We will continue on from the previous example of Mr. Smith. Mr. Smith created an A&M trust in June 2002. The first principal charge will be in June 2012, being 10 years from the creation of the original A&M trust. There was a capital appointment of £100,000 from the trust in July 2010, giving rise to an exit charge. The value of the trust assets in June 2012 is expected to be £1.2 million. The nil band in 2012-13 will continue to be £325,000. We will calculate the principal charge in June 2012. The answer is as follows. The value of the trust assets in June 2012 is £1.2 million. The nil band in 2012-13 is £325,000. From this, we deduct chargeable distributions from the trust in the previous 10 years. These are £100,000, being the capital appointment in July 2010. The nil band remaining is £225,000. We tax the excess at 20% to give notional tax of £195,000. We divide the notional tax by £1.2 million to give an effective rate of 16.25%. The effective rate is multiplied by 30%. However, we also need to make an adjustment to the number of quarters. 40 quarters have elapsed since creation. However, the trust assets were not relevant property for 23 quarters between the date of creation in June 2003 and April 2008. The actual rate is therefore 2.072%. We multiply this by the value of the trust assets in June 2012, giving a principal charge of £24,864.